Are you an inspiring author or a writer who just can't seem to get their thoughts together to put it in a book? Are you stifled in your writing creativity and suffer from a bad case of writer's block? What are the steps to becoming a successful author? Where do you start? What do you write about? And how do you develop your story, subject, or characters? Well, I have a guest today that may have the answers to all of your questions. Coming up on Go Creator Go. Let's do it. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Go Creator Go. Welcome to the show. I am so ecstatic that you guys are here today. Thank you guys so much, guys, for being here. I cannot tell you how excited I am about today's episode. I am ecstatic. That is the word of the day. The person that is going to be my guest today means so much to me. She really holds a special place in my heart and in my walk with Christ, and even in my purpose walk and my gifting. And I'll explain to that later. She may not even know this, but she actually plays an important part in how the development of my gift, actually, especially when it comes to my creativity and writing specifically, came from her. And I met Sheila Bell in 2007. I used to be, you find this kind of funny, but I actually used to work in a library. I worked in a library in Memphis, and I met her coming in. She lived in the community of where the library was located. And she would come in and she would do these meetings where she would actually mentor up and coming writers and authors. And there's no introduction, guys. I'm going right into it because it's a lot we're going to cover today. But she would mentor these writers and these authors and just pour into these people. Just, she would rent a conference room and she would just go in there and just pour into like 3-4 people at a time and just pour into these people, and they would come out with a book, with a vision, with a concept, with an idea, and they would pray it out, and man, they would have revival in there on some occasions. It would just be so amazing. And I had no earthly connection at all with wanting to write a book. I didn't have an idea of wanting to do one, not even the idea of me writing a book or being an author wasn't even in the cards for me in that time. I wasn't even thinking about that. And so one day Ms. Bell came to me, and she came to me like her normal, usually the time she comes in, gets a room for her meeting, and she asked me, she said, "Do you write? Are you an author? Do you have any books?" And I was like, "No, ma'am. I ain't never thought about that." She's like, "Well, you should, because you seem like you have a lot to say." And because every time we came here, we always had these great conversations, you know. And so it just, and that impression just stayed with me. And there was one particular meeting that she had, and she had a bunch of authors this time. It was probably about 12 of them that all came, and they met with her in this room, you know, and they were all there, and they were all different walks of life. There were some people writing about abuse, and there were some people that were writing about their childhood and biographies. And then there were some that did poetry, and then there were others that wrote about politics. And then there was another one that wrote about a love story and things like that. Kind of a Terry McMillan kind of situation. And she was mentoring all of these people and helped birth some of these books out too, by the way. And I was just so inspired by that. You know, it just blew me away. I said, I am going to write a book one day. I said to myself, I said, I am going to write a book one day. I really feel like I'm going to do this, you know. And I told Miss Sheila about it, and she was like, you should, you know. And every now and then, after I left the library and we were running to each other, and we stayed in touch. And she would ask, how's that book coming? You got that book yet? Where's that book at? You know, she would say that every now and then we'd talk. I said, well, it's coming along. You know, I just got to think of an idea. Da, da, da. She said, oh, it's going to happen. It's one thing about God. He's going to make it happen. If it's meant to be, it's going to be. And sure enough, here we are. 13 years later in 2020, and my book is not just written, it is complete. So yeah, Go Creator Go is a real thing. It is a real thing. So and part of that reason is because of the inspiration of this guest that I have on the show. Miss Sheila Bell is an author, she's a teacher, she's an influencer, she's a revivalist, in my opinion, and a prayer warrior as well. And she has published over 20 plus books independently and with companies. And she's been publishing books literally for a few decades now. And her stories are, her most popular one is a series called My Son's Wife. It's a series from the My Son's Wife series, and it's really, really popular. And it's on the level of some people compare it to a Tyler Perry kind of situation, or the Terry McMillan style stuff, you know, where it's love, drama, and it's all rooted in relationships. And but now she's starting to dabble into nonfiction, and we'll talk about that a little later. So everyone, welcome author, mentor, writer, Miss Sheila E. Bell. Hello, Sheila.
Hello, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me and for those wonderful words that you said about me. I know I hope I paid you enough, but I just but I love it. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you on the show, to be here with you. First of all, where do we begin? I mean, literally, where do we start? I mean, you have a truly blessed career with writing and being an author. How did this all start for you?
You know, it's amazing what you said earlier about how God orchestrates things, even how he orchestrated how you and I met.
Yes.
That just brought some laughter to me when I thought about I saw you in the library, and you know, and it's just how God just ordains things. And
yes,
you never would have known that after all these years, we would still be good friends. We would still be, you know, just having this conversation. So I'm just so appreciative of that, and appreciative of you for even continuing to think about me.
And, oh yeah,
and I'm just so excited to. I have to just sort of venture off about your book, because you are so right. Finally.
Yes.
But, you know, everything works in time, in God's yes. time, and his perfect time.
That's right. That's right. And that's what you always said. Because one thing yes. about Miss Sheila, she is such an encourager. Oh, my God. Like, there is nothing that we can do wrong, but at the same time, when we out of order, she is very, very softly able to correct us and get us right back in place, you know. And so, and I remember, as a matter of fact, Miss Sheila was one of the first people that I knew that would do these book seminars, Getting Out Your Dream seminars.
Yeah.
And then that was way ahead of its time, you know, and that was in the the mid 2000s when you mm-hmm. were doing that, and nobody was doing that at the time. And now you've got, you know, it's their whole church seminars and ministry seminars all about writing your books now, you know. So yeah, it is amazing that God just used you to orchestrate something like that in the earth, you know. I just thank God for you.
So thank you.
So what was your first novel, and tell us how you got started with that.
Okay, I just want to briefly just say again about how God orders our steps.
Oh,
because
yeah.
When I was young, I was more isolated, and it's just a brief story. You've heard it, Antoine. But either way, when I was 18 months old, I had open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. And 6 months after that, I contracted polio, which at that time was an epidemic. It hadn't become a pandemic like we're going through today.
Right.
But it was an epidemic. And I was one of those at the age of two who contracted polio.
Mm.
And so I spent a lot of time away from my family, even as a little girl. You know, I spent months on end in hospitals. My parents, at that time, segregation was so thick and heavy. So I couldn't see my parents, but maybe once a week. And most of the time it was through a glass window at this children's hospital in Memphis. But from there, I believe that's where, I'm just saying, I believe that's where the gift was really birthed. Even though, you know, we say and we believe that before God formed us in the womb, he already knew us. So I believe all of this. I'm just saying it's becoming visual for me when I think back about my life and how I got started.
Yes.
And from that, those periods of isolation, my mind just wandered. You know, I just had a vivid imagination from there. Sometimes I would be in the hospital in body cast from another experimental surgery of some type. And I would just lay there. And when I was able to finally learn how to read and look in books, they just fascinated me. So that period where I just, my imagination began to soar, it took off in my teen years in the form of poetry. So I would write poetry, but I also loved to write essays. So in middle school, when it was always a writing assignment, something in English, I excelled in that. And even then, back, you know, as a middle school and high school, I would help the other students with their papers. You know, it just really just turned me on to be able to put something to pen to paper. But just let's just go on fast forward to 1997, and that, yeah, I know that seems a long way off, but out of tragedy, I was just getting ready to, a few months from my wedding, and my fiance was brutally murdered in Memphis, and it just devastated me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, again, I've always been a woman of faith and a woman, you know, that was, I was raised in the church to know God, and
yes,
so was my fiance. And so when this tragedy happened, it just, ooh, it had a devastating blow on my life, because I had been divorced from a brutal and violent and abusive relationship
mm-hmm.
for years. And so when I met this guy, and he was so nice to me, and he was a godly man, and I just was thanking God, and then his life was cut short like that. It threw me into a tailspin, Antoine, where
God,
I wanted, you know, I thought about suicide, and why me, and God, you're the orchestrator of everything, and God, nothing can happen without you allowing it. So I was angry. I was just full of anger.
Yes.
And so my counselor, minister at that time, she taught my Sunday school class, the church that Roderick and I attended. Well, she just saw how wounded I was, and people were telling me about, oh, you know, you got to have your faith, and God hadn't turned his back on you, and that was the whole problem. It was because I knew that God was omnipotent.
Right.
I knew God was omniscient. I knew God was all-powerful. So why, God, did you allow this to happen?
Mm.
Knowing what I've dealt with in my life, knowing all the adversities and things I've had to overcome,
come on,
why would you allow this to happen in my life? So that was my point of anger. And she encouraged me to put my thoughts down, all of what I was feeling. She said, Sheila, write it down. You got to get it out of you. And so that's what I did. I began to journal, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I wrote about my grief, and I wrote about my anger, and I wrote about my devastation. And about six big, thick journals later, that's all the way, only way I can explain it to people is,
wow,
is like I exhaled after that six journal. I exhaled, and it was like a rush of wind just went out of me. And from that birthed my first book, not even knowing, thank you, God, not even knowing,
thank you, Lord,
out of my worst tragedy.
Come on.
The worst tragedy that I could have ever experienced in my life like that, of that magnitude, that God would use that. And now here I am almost 30 books later.
Come on. Come on.
Ooh, it just makes me just thinking about how he took the lowest point of my life. And my first book, Always Now Forever. And then on top of that, I wrote a nonfiction book, A Christian's Perspective, Journey Through Grief. And Still today, I take that journey through grief booklet, and I, as God tells me, you know, I hear about someone who's lost a loved one, someone who was sort of going on that same path as I was, and I give those books to them. They're still touching people's lives. But when I look back now, Antoine, I just cannot believe that I've been on this journey. You know, when God says that he'll turn it to your good, he'll, yes, you know, for those who love him.
Come on.
And are called according to his
purpose. That's right.
And I didn't understand his purpose then. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see any vision. I was blind. I wanted to die. I wanted to just leave. I just was so angry. But God, that's all I could. But yes, God, and he used that. He used my debt, and he awakened my gift.
Come on.
And so that's how it is. I know I've gone on and on about that.
That's a testimony.
And I can't even see it. I just can't cut it short on that, because I never would have thought that I would have opened up like this to what God had for me. I mean, I was used to saying little poems in church as a little girl, standing up there with my braces and crutches, and I would stand before the church artists and say my poems about the creation, and I would sing a song, but still, never knowing.
That is amazing.
So here I am today.
Come on. You know, the Bible talks about how he takes the things that what the enemy meant for harm, God made it work for our good. You know, it's just amazing. He doesn't let anything be wasted. Nothing. He lets nothing be wasted. It's just like when the disciples were feeding all of the multitudes with the bread and the fish, and they had food left over. He's like, gather it all. We're not going to waste none of this. All of it is going to get used today. You know, that's the same thing with our lives. Like, he takes all those things, all of those disappointments, all those hurts, all those losses, mm-hmm, all those tragedies, you know, and he makes them work for us. And even in most cases, he even turns it around and uses it as warfare for us to get victory. You know, he's Jehovah Gabor. He's the God that fights our battles for us, you know.
Yeah.
That is incredible. That is incredible. So that started your path to writing your early books. What made you keep going with this when you, because I know you saw success from that in the beginning, but then you started getting into the romantic area and the love interest area and relationships. And then it just went crazy from there. Tell me about that.
It did, but it was just, again, a God thing, because after that first book, Always, Now, Forever, and that's why I like platforms like this. And that's why I'm going back a little bit too. I like platforms like this because where I'm able to talk to aspiring authors or veteran authors or just people who are interested in writing. Because when you do that, you know, when I first started out, I couldn't find anyone to help me. Mm. I mean, I would be crying, and I was just like, God, after I realized that God, you know, had put it in my heart to take that journal. That's what it was. Those journals. God had put in my heart to turn them into a book. I wasn't thinking about books. I was just finishing the journal. So when I kept saying books, 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 I was like, a book. And so I started sending, you know, put it together, typed it, you know, the journal up, and made it in book form, and started sending it out to all these big publishers, and kept getting rejection letters saying, oh, it's a great book, or it's gut-wrenching, it's extraordinary. But, you know, it was always that but.
Right.
And so I started thinking about, well, I don't know why I was so adamant about putting the book out. Because at that time, if you didn't find a publisher, you might as well just sort of sit back, because you didn't want to self-publish. Because if you self-publish, you were like not a success. Mm. You know, that was like a knockoff, you know. So you don't want anyone to know that you're independently publishing a book.
Wow.
You know, it was taboo. But I said, well, that's the only way I know to do it. So I started trying to find people to help me. Couldn't find anybody. I finally found one group, this poetry group. And those people gave me some direction, read my manuscript. And I vowed then within myself, within my spirit, I said, God, I remember I was driving on the expressway, tears were in my eyes because I believe I got another rejection letter, and someone I knew who was writing, someone else I knew who was writing erotica and just all kind of just deep stuff. Mm-hmm. What, her career was just taking off. She was on the Montel show, and at that time, I think Sinbad was having this thing that you go to Aruba, these places. But anyway, she was just excelling in her career. And I was like, God, what's going on here? Here I am trying to write something that, you know, that's clean, something that's inspirational, something. And you won't let me, you know. So I was boohooing again. I guess he was like, come on, shoot. But anyway, so he knows me. He knows I'm a crybaby. So I'm just, oh, God, I'm on the expressway. And so anyway, I bowed feet. I said, Lord, I'm going to learn this industry. And when I do, I'm going to help other people.
Come on.
So they won't have to go through all of what I went through to beg for help, to try to, you know, research everything. And so finally, I researched until that first book. I put it out and I republished it since then because I learned again, you know, from there how to perfect it. But that's how it all got started. And that's how I said I was going to help other people. And so from that first book, it was a man coming here from Memphis, because I love to read. I always read. And so he was coming from Memphis, coming to a bookstore, and I wanted to meet him. And so I went to the bookstore, me and some other people, and we went to the bookstore, met him. Again, God orchestrated it. I really wasn't, you know, I had my book, but I was helping somebody else with theirs.
Wow.
And so, but, and I mentioned mine. But and he said, both of you, I want both of you, the lady who I was trying to help, who I had typed her manuscript up, help her, I mean, either way, help her get the close to him so she could get a manuscript to him. And he said, well, both of y'all just sent them in. And so I sent mine in, she sent hers in. He rejected hers. At December of 1999, right before Christmas, I have got a personal phone call from him. He was with Kensington Urban Books. And I got the phone call from him offering me a 3-book deal contract.
Wow.
With a major publishing company for 5 figures. And I was like, what?
Wow. That's awesome.
That is, and it just, and that's how it happened. And I started writing. And the My Soul and Wife series, that was supposed to be just one book.
Yeah, that's right.
And now it's on book 10.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I remember that. I remember that. And that was, that. I remember it was, I was like, that's an interesting title, My Son's Wife.
And it was, and the thing about, too, my writing, you know, it is, has romance and drama, but I don't write anything that you're, child or young child or teen or young adult couldn't pick up.
That's right.
And you know, you see, I try to put messages in there because it's still, they're not Christian fiction per se, but they're, it's, I call them faith-based fiction, because no matter what the story, the whole premise behind my writing, yes, I go out the box and I talk about controversial subjects to tell controversial stories.
Right.
But it's all for the purpose of letting people know that no matter how you mess up it, no matter how many mess ups it, and how many times you falter and you fall down, no matter how disgusting things that you may do or say or even think, God is a forgiving God, and He will turn it around. He can turn your worst mess around.
Yes.
And so that's the messages in my stories. At the end of the day, no matter what you've done, no matter how you messed up, God is able.
Yes, He is. To do exceedingly and abundantly more.
I write, and I call them perfect stories about imperfect people like you and me.
Amen.
That's what I write.
Amen. So, yeah, I'm a witness to the content. I've read a few of Sheila's books, and they are very, very, very much. I mean, I've always told her that they should be TV shows and films. I've always said that day one. I said, I can totally see this on TV. I can totally see this in movies. I mean, I'm not one to compare people, but it's if you're a Tyler Perry fan, if you like that genre of storytelling, you would absolutely adore Sheila's books. Like if you are in that vein, she is right along in there. I would not be surprised at all if he discovered a one of her books and did a film or a show off of it. I would not doubt that at all.
Thank you.
I would not doubt that at all.
Yeah, that's the desire of my heart, and God knows it, to see my book or books in film, and He knows that. And a couple of them have turned into screenplays, and I am at this present looking and seeking. But even in that, I know God will open the door if that's the door He decides that He wants to open for me. So, but I would, that is a desire.
I really believe it. I really believe that it's going to happen before it's all said and done. I really believe several of your books are going to be made into screen and film. I really believe that. Well, let's take a quick break real quick. And then when we come back, I want to talk about from the perspective of somebody who wants to get started and how they can reach you even to mentor them. Let's get into that. So we're going to take a quick break real quick, and we'll be back to talk more about you accomplishing your vision of being an author. Next on Go Creator Go. All right. We are back. Okay. So when we last left off, we talked about the history, the amazing history of Miss Sheila Bell, author, writer, and mentor, book mentor, if you will. And Sheila, you talk about, well, we talked earlier about how you mentor authors and you help get them going into place based off of basically a vow you made to the Lord, which is amazing. So tell me, how does the process work? I'm an author that I want, because I've actually seen you do this in action. So for an aspiring author to come along and come to you and say, Miss Bell, I really want to be an author. I have an idea, but I just don't know how to get this thing going. What are the steps needed? What are the steps necessary? Where do we go?
Well, if the person is talking to me and they're asking that question, the first thing I'm going to come back with is, are you writing? Because so many people come to me, and that's the reason I have to ask them that question, because so many people do come to me with it in their spirit or with it in their head space that, you know, they have this idea, oh, okay, I want to write a book. And this is something you want to do, I want to see how serious you are about it. So when a person approaches me and they ask that question, and number one, if they say they haven't started writing, then I'm going to say, start writing. And when I say start writing, that may be a little confusing to some people, because it may say, well, start writing, that's the whole point. I'm here with you. How do I start writing? But that's what you have to do. I don't care how it sounds, what it's about, put pen to paper. You have to begin to train your mind to take your thoughts and put them on that computer or put them, you know, write them down. Some people do longhand, whichever way you do it, to get those thoughts transferred from your mind onto the paper. And from there, I'll ask to see some of their work along the way, just so I can just give them some guidance about which direction they're headed in, because some people don't know if they're writing nonfiction. They don't know what kind of genre they're writing.
Right.
They don't know if it's fiction. They just know they have a story. So I help them decipher that. And then that's when we'll take that next step, depending on how far they've gone. But the first advice I'm going to give is to, if you're really serious about this, is to write. And it may just be a one book writer, and that's good. Whatever you is within your spirit to write, I want you to start writing it.
Okay. So what would you say would be the biggest obstacle that new authors, aspiring authors, always run into? Or is it something bigger than that?
That is the biggest thing that I've seen. And I believe all of that is out of two things, fear and the unknown. Because so many people are held back in life because of fear. And we already know God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
But so many people are held back. This is so sad. I just spoke to a lady who I've been talking to really probably a little longer than when you and I met, Antoine. And I'm talking about a young lady who had 3-4 manuscripts that I had read and were just excellent. And I read these manuscripts back in 2010 and been trying to help her ever since to instill confidence in her that she could do this. But because of fear of the unknown, I just found out that she shredded and tore up all 3 of those manuscripts because she said, they are no good. I can't do this.
Oh.
And so, you know, I was just like, oh, God.
Oh, God.
I wish she had given me the story. I mean, oh, God. I mean, no, really. It's serious. I would have put them out, and she wouldn't know. I would have put her name on. I would have just, because they were just that good.
Man. That's terrible.
Crazy. I could not believe it. But anyway, that's the first thing, fear. But you have to write. Don't be afraid to write, and don't be afraid to contact people like me who, you know, because that's another thing. They're afraid to let other folks see what they've written because,
right,
again, fear is saying, well, that's not going to be good enough, or this, or somebody go steal my work, or this. So it's so many obstacles like that. But first of all, I want you to write.
Okay. And also now, and I'm sure you probably get this all the time too, because even when I wrote my book, you know, I would run into this particular question. Do I need to go self-publish, or do I need to go to a publishing house, or do I just, you know, which way is the best way to go, you know, independent or with a publishing house?
Well, independent, which is that taboo word I used to be afraid of, self-publishing. had you asked me this question a number of years ago, I would have said, by all means, you want to seek a traditional publisher like I did in the beginning.
Gotcha.
But today, I would say no. And the reason being is because with technology, with the e-books, with social media, the same things that a traditional publisher offers you, minus a advance, that's what you're still going to have to do. People have a misconception about traditional publishing. And when I say traditional publishing, it's usually the top 5 publishers, the big house publishers, which are doing it in a way too. People like, you know, Simon & Schuster,
right,
Random House, Kensington, Divina, that's a part of Kensington. But some of those people, Tamani, Harlequin, those
yes,
are big time publishers.
Yes.
Well, suppose you were signed on with one of those companies. That would be fantastic. That's great. Your books are automatically be in the bookstores, at least those bookstores that are still standing now. They'll be made available in the bookstores immediately. So they'll be nationwide right away. And that can be good. But what the flip side of that is, what they don't tell you too, is that book can only sit on the shelf. It used to be for a period of 90 days, but they've shortened it, because even if that book does not move within 90 days, is put in what is called return.
Oh.
And now keep in mind, you're with this big publisher. You've gotten your advance. You're selling your books. He's done a say, first print run. I used my book. My first print run for my first book was 25,000 copies. Okay, so that was the print run. That's how many he printed up.
Wow.
So then they'll print them up again. I went through three runs of those. But the thing about it is, I had to do exactly what I do now. I had to get out and hustle because he put the books, the publishing company put the books everywhere. But nobody knew me. Nobody knew Sheila Bell.
That's true.
The same thing that you have to do now that we have to do as authors today, you had to do back then. I had to get on some road trips. The publishing company doesn't provide for that. Now, I could, if I was wise, I could have taken my five-figure advance, which is not at one lump sum. That's spread out over four payments. So that's something else we can get into. Maybe I'll do another podcast.
Absolutely.
But that's spread out over four payments. So that first payment, yes, I could have done something with that, and I did. But hey, you're talking about still, you know, you still had obligations and things. So getting that first part of the money was both exciting, but I had to pay bills as a single parent and all too. I had to do things and take care of myself. But either way, I had supportive family and friends. So I got on the road wherever, you know, if he said you need to be in Virginia, I got on the road. If I needed to be in Maryland, wherever, I had to find places. First of all, it's not like he went around and found these places. Right. Oh, my publisher, when he said he.
That's right.
Had to find these places. I had to find what's going on, what bookstores, because bookstores were prevalent then.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I had to go and contact bookstores. Now, when I contacted the bookstores, if they said that they were willing to allow me to sign there, then I contacted my publisher, and he would send the books there. And so that's how that works. But I had to be the one to get out there and market and promote myself and get people to know who I was and get them to want to buy my book. And that still rings true today. So just because you're picked up by a traditional publisher, it doesn't mean your work is is easy. Your work, hard work, is just starting because I tell authors, you can write the book, but if nobody knows about the book, you're still not going anywhere with it.
That's right. That's
so
very
true. So you write the book, now you have to really get out there and market and promote. And another thing about traditional publishing is I had to hope and pray that twice a year, I am going to get a royalty because traditional publishers only pay you twice a year. That's in June and December.
Gotcha.
That's when you get your royalty. Well, my first royalty statement came and I was so excited, but I didn't get any money because you know what? A lot of books had to be returned. So that went against my royalty. And now returning is not a bad thing, but
right.
Of course you don't want your books returned. So, but I didn't know that meant for two royalty periods, which means a year, I couldn't get any money because the publisher had to wait to see just how many books will be returned because he didn't want to pay me $5,000 and then $5,000 worth of books were returned. You see, he goes
right.
Again. So I have to wait two royalty periods before I was able to get any money, quote unquote money. So that's how it works. Twice a year, I got royalties. Well, now with independent publishing, every month my money is in my account.
Wow.
I don't have to go searching for it. At the end of the month, I get an email saying, okay, deposits are being made into your account for your book. And it sends me my report. And so I don't have to wait just twice a year.
That's awesome. So who would you recommend as an independent that you go through then?
As an independent publisher, I only recommend two. Well, I go to three places. Of course, KDP.Amazon. And KDP.Amazon, I like because, especially for my new authors, because we haven't touched on the fact that I edit. So if you put my name into Sheila Bell, you're going to see all kind of books come up because I'm an editor too. So as an editor and a publisher and all of that, I'll tell people, I recommend your first book to go through KDP.Amazon strictly because of the cost savings. Some people, you can't tell them anything. They'll go through, we got to have another podcast. So, but anyway, what I call, there's subsidy publishing and vanity houses, rip off places. You've heard of them. Arthur House.
Oh, yeah.
Lulu.
Yes.
Christian Faith Publishing.
Right.
Faith Publishing. Zulon Press.
Yes.
Those are just some of the ones that come to mind. And those companies charge astronomical amounts of money, but they're not customer focused. They're money focused because they'll take your book and they don't care whether it's edited or not. Whatever you send them, that's what they're going to put in print.
Really?
And that's how, yes. No. And now you pay extra if you want them to edit.
Oh, wow.
That's a whole different area. But if you go to these companies and you want them to put your book, yeah, they're going to put a nice little cover on there. But it's going to be, if you put whatever, if you got a string of run-on sentences or just, I've seen one book they've done. It's just one whole book, no chapters, just one big paragraph of 200 pages.
That is insane.
But that's, and so those are the kind of things, and people pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, thousands of dollars to these companies. But then it's a trust factor, too, because you have people like me. Yes, do I charge people? Of course I do. This is my business.
Sure.
Do I charge people? I take a person from editing to finish product? Yes. But would I ever dare, I don't care how successful, would I ever dare do something like that to people? No, I'm going to charge. It's whatever I charge, just like when I did the festival I was having, it's enough for me to make something out of it, but it's more for you. Because I'm going to give it my very best. I'm going to treat it like it's one of my very own books. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And another thing I'm going to say is, look, what you have here, I'm not going to publish it until we make some changes in this.
That's right.
I'm just not going to do it.
That's right.
And
absolutely.
If you want me to do it, you need to move on to someone else. Because I'm not going to just take your, to talk to you or put some any mess together. So those are the things you have to look out for. So I would say KDP Amazon, because you can get your free ISBN number through them versus ISBN numbers, which is a unique number identified only with your book. You know that from the library.
Yes, absolutely.
So that ISBN number is connected only to your book.
Only. That's right.
But those ISBN numbers, one ISBN number can cost $150 to $175. That's
yes.
just for one.
Yes.
But most people who are starting out or whatever, they don't have that kind of money.
No.
So, I mean, for one ISBN number, now you can get a batch of 10 for like maybe $500. But then again, people don't have that type of money. So that's why I encourage my new authors to go to KDP.Amazon where we can get the free ISBN number. And then I go in, I upload the book for them, I turn the book into Kindle for them, whichever they need me to do, I do that. And then what you are paying for then is just your print cost. So if I say, for instance, your book, if your book is a nonfiction book, Antoine, and it's about 80 pages, because most nonfiction books, you don't want a big nonfiction book because people's attention span.
That's right.
So you get you a nice nonfiction book, I'm going to say 80 to 100 pages. Well, from my experience of working all these years with, I already know that book for you as the independent publisher going through KDP is probably going to cost you at about $2.35 to print. Now, that's not including the shipping and tax now. So we're not going to get, that's not including the shipping and tax. So, but if you're paying $2.35 for your own book, then the price, of course, for that book is probably about $15 that you the retail price.
That's right.
So you're purchasing your own book, your inventory of book for $2.35 per book. You'll market it up just like we do. That's life. I mean, and
yeah,
retail.
Yeah, that's so it.
Your book is $15.99. So you're still making your own profit. And the kind of person that you are, you know, when you able to promote, you know, I've been speaking to you now, Antoine, because you sort of have the knowledge about how to do promotion and marketing, you know, so we, you know, how you can get out there and do some videos, or you can let people know, you can, you know, shoot things about your book.
Right.
So when you get it out there, so you're able to buy your own books, while the books are also on Amazon, and Amazon, when you accept worldwide distribution. Amazon makes your book available through worldwide.
That's right.
So it's going to be on BarnesandNoble.com. And now it's not going to be in Barnes & Noble store, but none of the books are unless you go to the stores and ask them to order the books.
That's right.
So that people get hungry. My book's not at the Walmart, because Walmart don't carry books like that anymore anyway. When's the last time you went to Walmart and saw just a selection of books?
That's right. That's true. That's you absolutely right.
You hung up on the wrong thing. Yes. Were my books in Walmart? Yes, they were. But I still, being in Walmart, if they sitting on the shelf and they have to send them back, it's not doing me any good.
None. Yeah, they're just sitting in Walmart.
So now the other one I'm going to give you is Lightning Source or Ingram Spark. They're one and the same. Lightning Source / Ingram Spark, based in Tennessee. Well, I also use them, but you have to be careful because you don't want Amazon to knock you off because you're with Ingram.
Right.
So I'll have to go back and tell you what you're supposed to check off when you're in your Amazon account. There's a certain box you have to check so that Amazon will know that the book is going to be made available other places, but it's not. But that's a whole different thing. But Lightning Source, the difference with them, Lightning Source, Ingram Spark, is there are fees attached to it. And that's the only reason I sort of steer clear with new authors, because I don't want them to have to invest a lot of upfront money that they can use later for promoting and marketing. Right now, I want them to get out there, test the waters, get the book through a source where they don't have to have much upfront money. Because with Ingram / Lightning Source, you pay for uploading the book. And if you make a mistake, and I've done it many times, I uploaded the finished project. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I read back through it. I see something that was messed up. Well, then I have to go back and pay them. Usually I think it's $80, I think, for upload, although they have specials. So I would go into Ingram Spark, and you have to pay every time you have to re-upload your book.
Gotcha.
So you have to pay upfront costs to even load your book on Ingram Spark. And you also have to have a purchased ISBN number. You can't get a free ISBN number through them. You have to actually go to Bowker.com, and that's another thing I can tell you how people who don't know how to do ISBN numbers or not. But you have to go purchase your ISBN number. So that's $175 plus the $80 that you have to put up to get the book uploaded. And then there's another fee to go into their catalog. That catalog goes to all libraries and bookstores all over the nation,
right,
to let them know, you know, that you have books coming out. So that's a good benefit. And plus, Ingram Spark and / Lightning Source, they are the major book distributor for bookstores.
That's right.
Like Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
And the library. So it is some benefit. But again, you can sign up with Lightning Source all day long and you can pay the money up front. But then again, you don't want 3 months down the line, and this has happened to me because this is just a cycle of publishing. You don't want 3 months down the line and you get a knock at the door and it's the UPS man with a case of books that they've returned.
That's true.
You see? So
that's right.
And that's, you know, I thank God that doesn't happen to me now, but do every now and then I may get one book back, two books, and it's one of my old books. And I was like, okay, I'm not upset about that.
Right.
You know, but in the beginning, that can be really discouraging to an author. And there are always fees attached with Ingram Spark. So I just prefer KDP.Amazon. Their printing is just as on point as Ingram. Their turnaround time as far as getting your book is just as on point as Ingram. Their prices are a little bit less expensive than Ingram. So those are my reasons, my pros and cons. I have a client now and she wants to, now that she's come out with her first book, she's working on her second. And so she wants to experiment with Ingram / Lightning Source.
Gotcha.
So that's an option. But those are the only two places. The third and final thing is some authors do not use either source. Some authors go straight to a printer. They go to a book printer and have so many copies. Say, for instance, like Morris Publishing or Monique Hall, she does publishing. She's in Atlanta, Black-owned business. I mean, she does printing. So they'll go to a just a printing company who prints books, and they'll get so many copies of their books printed, and they sell them directly. Online, they've set up an Amazon account where you still can sell your books through Amazon. It's called the Amazon Marketplace.
Right. Now, so I've seen that.
You can go through there and sell your books. But they're directly not getting Ingram or Amazon to print their books. They're going to an outside printer. When you go to an outside printer, keep this in mind. If you have the funds, good. I know I harp a lot about money, but most people I deal with are like me. People don't have astronomical amounts of money to throw away or put out there or even to invest in themselves. They just don't have it.
Right.
So the thing about when you go to outside printing companies, you have to order in bulk or quantity. They may, the more books you order, the cheaper your printing cost. So if they say your book's $2.35, yeah, they may be $2.35. If you order 500 books.
And that's a lot.
I'm just like, so then you have to order 500 books and you don't have that. But the good thing about KDP and about Lightning Source is if I can't afford to order but 5 books, I can order 5 books.
That's right.
If I can't afford to order but 1 book, I can order 1 book. So that's what I like. You're not limited about the amount that you have to order, and you don't have to come up with all that upfront money. So when your book comes out, I first suggest get you an inventory of how much you can afford. I'm not sure who's printing your book or whatever, but if it's through Amazon or Lightning Source, then have a budget and say, okay, I'm gonna buy $300 worth of books. And at $300 worth of books, then of course you're gonna make your money back, because if the book is $2.35, you going out there, you selling it for $15, you're going to make your money back. And then you'll have some, you can invest.
Right. You can reinvest. That's right.
And then you can also, if your book is $15.99, you can also afford to get on your podcast or to go to an event and say, you know what? Today, I'm offering a special. My book is $10 today.
Yes.
And you're still making money because you've only paid your $2.35. per copy.
That's right.
So you can afford to discount your book versus when you got a whole book of I still, to this day, I don't care what I told you about Always Now Forever, my very first book that I self-published, I didn't know my mama and was my dad. My dad was deceased. But my mama, my two sons, no, my older sons, and they were working. But either way, and my sister helped me order all these cases of books from Morris Publishing Company.
Wow.
And right now today, if I call my son Jay, who's still living in my house in Memphis, and I say, Jay, what's up in the attic? He's going to say, Mama, I think you still got about 2 cases of those books.
Those books are still hanging on. They still there.
And so now, I use those as giveaways. But I'm just saying, you don't want that. You don't want. I know another young lady right now in her garage. I told her, I said, please don't do that again. She has cases of books. Because from ordering from private places, these private printers, it's just not worth it until you get that type of clientele. Then you can order books like that.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope I answered your question. I'm sorry.
No, you did. You got that. Now that is exactly what I was actually inquiring about that. So yeah, you actually have been a blessing to not just me, but I'm sure plenty of people who are listening out there. And we got to continue this. I got to bring you back, and we got to do another one. We got to do another one, Miss Sheila.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do segments to talk about certain things too, because like I said, some people have no idea about what an ISBN number is. Right. Some people I've talked to who are my clients, they don't know about, you know, your book format and how the book has to be laid out.
That's right.
They don't know about the title page, what goes here, what goes there. So it's just so many areas. They don't even know how to go and get an ISBN number. You know, that you have to go to MM Back or so they don't know things like that. And that's how they get ripped off, because yes, you have people who don't know. Some people, say for instance, I use Arthur House and Zula, they charge extra for stuff like that.
That's right.
You know, and then on top of that, you're not getting the services that you need. And I'm not badgering them. You can go the way you want to go. I just want you to be knowledgeable. That's right. My thing. I tell that's people, you don't have to come to me. But if you call me and ask for some advice, I'm going to give it to you.
Yes.
But I'm not going to lie to you either. And if you send me your book, and this is another thing, I'm not going to sugarcoat and say, Antoine, you know what? That book is so good, and it's a bunch of crap, and it needs to be worked on.
Now, that is true. I've seen that. I've seen that in action.
People say, Sheila, you shouldn't do it. Yes, I do, because I'm not. I tell people the truth.
Yes.
It's like one of my clients told me, she said, you know what? She said, you called me up when you worked on my book, she said, and I've just, she said, and you drowned me. No, she said, you put my head under the water. You hold my head down there. And I was saying, Lord, this is it. She said, just when I think I'm going to take my last breath, you bring me back up again. And you say, man, you get on that book and you do what I can.
That is true. I'm a witness to that. I have seen Miss Sheila straighten out some mentees. I've seen her straighten them out, and they come back, and they're right on. They got their points. They're ready to go, and they're in order. You know, I mean,
yes, you know. I want you to be the best. If yes, you're going to do this, don't put your name on something just to say you have a book.
That's right.
No, don't do that. You want to be, especially those of us who profess to be Christians, those of us who profess to be people of faith.
That's right.
You know, we don't supposed to put out garbage. You're not supposed to just go about, you know, misusing people and taking advantage of people. If you're going to do something, do it to your very best. Or when it does, it'll be a good representation of what God has instilled in you.
That's right. Because you're representing Him. We are supposed to be representatives in the earth. That's right. It's supposed to be excellent. It's right. It's supposed to be excellent. So, Sheila, if people want to get a hold of you for getting their book published, or to find your books online to purchase so they can read them, how can they find you?
You can find me at Sheila Writes Books. I spell that because some people misspell Sheila. It's S-H-E-L-I-A, Sheila. Even though we pronounce it Sheila or Sheila, but I have to do it the proper way so people know how to spell it. But it's Sheila Writes Books at yahoo.com or SheilaWritesBooks.com. That's my website. And you can reach me those two ways and let me know what you need. I do everything from editing all the way up to the finished product. I guide you along the way, whatever you need. If you just need to talk to me and ask me something, of course, reach out to me on my email, SheilaWritesBooks@yahoo.com again, or my website.
Amen. Now, what about social media? You're not on social media, are you?
Oh, yeah, okay. Sheila. Yeah. I'm on social media, facebook.com/SheilaWritesBooks. Also, Instagram, Sheila E. Bell.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Sheila. I love you so much. Thank you so much.
I love you, Antoine. And I just thank you for having me. And I just pray before we end this that whoever is listening to me and Antoine, that if you're really serious about this, please reach out to me or go through Antoine, whichever way. But, you know, if you have a dream within your heart and God has given you a gift, use it. Don't allow fear to hold you back. Don't allow what other people say or what has happened in your life to hold you back. If God has brought you what they say to it, He's going to bring you through it. And maybe your words, maybe your life could be a testimony to someone else. So don't hold back on your gift.
Amen. Amen. And you know what's so funny is that I always do a conclusion at the end, and you literally quoted that my ending. You literally quoted that.
I
Look, God is in the building. I can He is in the building. I cannot. I'm telling you, he is in this building. So there is purpose on this podcast. So we're going to do this again. We're going to talk after this is over, and we're going to reschedule so you can come back and we can continue this conversation, and we'll basically make the entire show about becoming an author step by step. Is that okay?
Yes, I like it. Maybe we can, it periodically, like you said, just have something about the publishing industry to help authors. So you are right. I like that.
I love that.
There's so much out there that I want to share and I want to save people from. If I possibly can.
Absolutely. Look, we can make that happen. That's not a problem at all. Well, everybody, God bless you. And thank you so, so much for tuning in. And thank you, Miss Sheila, for being with us. So in conclusion, writing a book can be challenging and it takes discipline, but it is so worth it to make a statement, to improve your business brand, to birth out a destined vision that carries more purpose than you can possibly imagine. In the end, writing your book is vital in achieving what is necessary to accomplish one of your purpose kingdom assignments in the earth as a believer. Remember, you have purpose as a creator, and God wants to make use of it, not only to be a blessing for you, but to help move his kingdom forward through you. I'm Antoine Bean. This is Go Creator Go. And until next time, be blessed. Creator Go is created at Triumph Media Works Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. For more information on Triumph Media Works, go to triumphmediaworks.com and be sure to follow us on Facebook at Go Creator Go. Until next time, be blessed.